com. Seeking solutions.
Questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show, and thanks for tuning in. Always, folks, that we are viewer-supported stations, so if you like what the stations are doing, even though times are tough, if you can reach into your pocket and throw 10 or 20 bucks or even 5 bucks towards the stations, I know they would much appreciate any support you can afford. Also, I always want to say thanks to my producer, Steve Roberts, for putting up with me every weekend producing my shows. I'd be lost without his help. I am joined today by two PPC candidates for the last federal election here in Canada. I couldn't get their writing information on my meme today because of limited space, but I have Mark Friesen with me and Joey Craven. I've had both these gentlemen on my show numerous times before, and I've really been looking forward to this conversation today. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
Thanks, Barry.
So to say that things have gone a little crazy here in this country, well, that would be, a major understatement right now, gentlemen. We really see the devil showing his face now in Canada. What's going on in this country right now? All I can say is that if people aren't aware of it and they're not willing to stand up at this point against blatant corruption in our government, I don't know what to say. We could start with that, with the Weave charity thing right now. If you want to talk on that, Mark, or if you want to talk on something else, we did just have an event in Canada. I want to talk about it for a second here, guys, that, on July 1st, we had a gathering of patriots on Parliament Hill, and, not a word was mentioned, I believe, anywhere on mainstream media about the 10,000 Canadians, that got together and created an energy that I believe is going to ripple across the country, that we are now starting to see people in Canada really pay attention to what's going on. Unfortunately, we do have a percentage of the sheeple that are still buying the Kool-Aid, but I think that's going to change here in the very near future. What do you think, Mark? And welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, it was, I've been planning the event on Canada Day for about 2.5 months sort of in advance. And you know, I was very encouraged by what I saw. Not only, you know, the numbers, of course, are anywhere from probably 5,000 to 10,000, at least, you know, in the area on Canada Day. But I was very encouraged with who was there. And one of my takeaways, of course, was that there was a large contingent of Quebecois people that were there. And when I listened to their speeches very closely in English, they were saying the same things that we were saying, and they were talking about the same issues that I've been talking about for a long time, of course, globalism and essentially our freedom and our sovereignty. See, the French are very particular about their sovereignty and their culture and their way of life, and they see that that is under attack by globalism, of course. So it was great to see that they were part of this. We united with them. It's the first time I've ever been involved in that, that I've ever seen the Quebecois or the Francos, come together and unify with the Anglos in a protest. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought, there it is. This is what I've been saying all along, that if we can identify the enemy and defend our common values across the country in defense against this common enemy, we got a shot. And so I was very encouraged by it. Now, of course, I'd love to have seen 50,000 or 100,000 people there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we'll take it. It was the largest protest from our side of the fence probably ever. So, you know, and one of the other takeaways with it is that it didn't cost us any money, right? We didn't need, you know, any funding. It was all grassroots. We put it together. It cost me a few bucks for water you know, sound equipment and what have you. But all in all, it was done without, you know, any government support, of course, or any grants like these left-wing groups always seem to get. But, you know, Barry, one of the reasons why this was successful is because the people around our country or across our country are starting to wake to the nonsense. Now, are they waking up in full? Are they waking up with the understanding the full breadth of what we're dealing with? No, but there's enough issues that are coming at us that everyone is starting to be affected directly, and that's exactly what we need. And then right. We need, you know, to capitalize and inform them that of what and why these things are happening and tie them all in together, because they are all related to globalism and the sustainable development agenda. All of it is, whether it's COVID, whether it's blockades, pipelines, energy, trans, you name it. We've talked about this lots before, Barry. You know, all of this is related. Vaccine, the masks, even the We charity. I mean, when I first heard about the We corruption, the first thing I did was Google We and SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, boom. Then Google tells me all of the things that We is involved in to help achieve Sustainable Development Goals, to indoctrinate kids, to brainwash kids in all of these camps that they host. And so then, of course, we learn how the corruption works itself into the mix, because, of course, the globalists and the elite, they love their corruption, and they love to use all of these things to benefit themselves, of course, because, you know, they can't do all these things without them personally benefiting from it. And so that's what we're seeing. And, you know, one last point is I seen a comment today from somebody that I know quite well and is quite involved. And his question on his post on Facebook was, does anybody really know what the heck's going on? Because I can't wrap my head around everything that's happening, which sort of had me sit back a little bit. It's like, really? I mean, we should know what's happening. People that are paying attention like this individual does, we do know what's happening. We have the head of the snake, the Sustainable Development Goals. Every issue that we see, if you write down the issue in the Google search bar and you follow it up with SDGs, it tells you right there why this is happening. All of it. It's all the head of the snake. And the whole establishment is involved, and that's why we're seeing this grand upheaval. And upheaval works in their favor because they love the division, they love the fighting, they love the civil unrest. Because then they can forward their goals using their might and their power.
Absolutely. Jody was also at the event in Ottawa. How are you doing, Jody, and welcome.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Barry. And, I'd like to add on to that. It was a fantastic event. When we went there, we're marching for our freedoms. And I have a list of here of the freedoms that we're marching for, and I don't think the people know what we're trying to do there. It was like freedom of expression, human rights, freedom of assembly, Canadian sovereignty, personal sovereignty, freedom of religion, freedom of press and media, property rights, gun rights, parental rights, land rights, development rights, energy industry, which is huge, especially in our riding, eh, Barry?
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity, equal under the law, a reasonable immigration, and accountable government. And that was from our poster, right? There was only one news outlet that was there. It was Rebel News. I think they're the only ones saying the truth nowadays. Right, everyone else is under the Trudeau $600 million, you know, gag order or whatever. But when we were there, that Norm Travesy, had a document 192 page long, and while we're marching to the U.S. Embassy to hand it over, I was with Callie and Laura Lynn, and all the French people were there, which I was very impressed, right, like Mark was saying, and they know what's in jeopardy. So, but they were chanting something in French, right? All the French people were chanting something. I didn't know what it was. So I had to ask them what they were chanting. And what they were chanting was, together we are strong, divided we are apart. Right? So, Wow. Yeah, that's... Wow.
Well, you know, it's absolutely inspiring to see the French people and the English people get together and unify under a common cause, because we have been divided so many ways by political correctness in society over the last hundreds of years that to see this happen, it really is an example of what needs to be done at this particular time, that all our differences, whatever they are, and there's lots of them that are driven into us in society, need to be set aside so that we can focus on the enemy. And the enemy is in Ottawa. Go ahead.
That's just it, Barry. And this is what the establishment is terrified of. They are absolutely terrified to show any footage of Anglos and Francos coming together to unite.
That
terrifies them to death, because they have spent years dividing, keeping us divided by the politicians, not the people, by the politicians, and the politicians doing what they do to keep us all divided and all in our little boxes, and this smashed all those boxes. And they can't cover that, because it's completely against what they promote.
Absolutely. We can't go against the narrative, man. Heaven forbid that. I mean, rebel media, talking about rebel media, they are the only outlet in Canada right now. I follow them all the time. Of course, there's always going to be a few things that they stand for that I don't agree with. But in general, they are the only media outlet in Canada right now that is saying any truth at all. Nothing on that media outlet is being put on CBC or CTV. And I follow them, of course, because they do need our support. Anybody right now that's in this fight needs our support. And I urge people, whether they have a few things that you don't agree with, we got to look at the big picture here. And the big picture is that they are standing for Canadians, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see them as being controlled opposition at all.
You know, Barry, it's interesting. I spoke with Rocco Galati yesterday. And I have him on my stream tomorrow night. We're going to discuss his latest statement of claim against the government on behalf of Vaccine Choice Canada.
Way to go, Mark. And way to go.
In this discussion we had yesterday, he talked a little bit about his statement of claim, and he mentioned specifically the CBC being the public broadcaster that has a obligation to present unbiased news. And so he's suing the CBC because they don't present any of their news in an unbiased fashion. We all know this. And he said to me immediately after they were in reception of this claim, they put out two or three articles on the online CBC version, basically throwing out there some carrots in opposition to a couple of issues that are happening, which I found very interesting. And he said, yeah, you know what? They're doing that because they're scared, because they know they're guilty. This isn't gonna help them in their case, because they did it after the claim was filed. But it's actually more proof that what they've been doing to this point is completely biased and completely, and he can't do this with private media companies. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about the media, we all know that there's a UN media compact that is wrapped into this whole greater agenda, where you have all of the major media conglomerates have agreed to promote the narrative selling the agenda and the sustainable development goals. That's why we are seeing all of the media. And I had somebody try to blame me today because I'm the divisive one. I'm the one who's, not going along and creating this division. In other words, we're all supposed to just take the narrative that's created and originates by an unelected foreign body, and we're just supposed to accept it that this is the way it's going to be, and don't say anything because if you do, you just cause division. it's crazy.
It is insanity, Mark. It really is. What do you think, Jody?
Well, I know this. We got to get out of the United Nations. That's the main thing. And this is what $600 million buys you, right?
I thought it was $1.3 billion he got or something that he put out last year. $600 million, I think that's a small figure. But anyways, regardless, it's now Canadian Communist Broadcasting Corporation. That there is no journalism. Well, there is no journalism in Canada, and we have to hold them to account. They are the biggest enemy of the people in this country right now, in my opinion, bar none.
Well, if you count the CBC, the CBC gets $1.7 billion annually from the taxpayer. Oh, the $600 billion is over and above that for all the others. So they're in line, you know. So, you know, we're well over $2 billion. Annually. There. Did I lose you?
There, I got a special guest for you guys coming on.
Cool.
Yeah. She said call her.
Did we lose you, Barry?
Okay, I'll get her.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Barry, are you muted? Hello, Barry.
Are we still...
Yes, we're still on air. Barry's
still on air?
Yep.
Yeah, something's going on with him.
Yeah, but anyways, we had a great time in Ottawa. We got to meet a lot of our PPC fellow brothers and sisters, and we had a great time in Ottawa. And we all came together, eh, Mark? And we all think alike, Save Canada.
Well, you know, and not only did we get to sort of have a little reunion with some good PPC folks, but the bigger crowd, you know, like, you know, I always say, and I still say this to this day, the PPC for me is a platform. The PPC is in response to the greater movement. So for me, it was more important that all of these groups, and, you know, I consider us as being part of the PPC, part of a group. But there's so many other groups that are fighting the same thing. So it was important to unite all of these groups, whether political or otherwise. Now, some of the groups aren't in favor of the political system. They believe the political system has failed and is completely corrupt. And I don't disagree. However, this is the discussion that I had with a number of these other groups is I recognize what you're saying, and I understand and I agree that the system is broken and we need to fix it. However, the majority of mainstream Canadians still believe in that system and use that system to elect politicians to govern. And if we don't get into that mainstream, if we can't bust down the door and get in and effect change from it within the system, we don't have a hope in hell. So,
it says,
you know, it's really important that we're able to come together and unite all of these groups and entities under our common goals against this enemy. And once we can bust through into the mainstream and start educating and forming,
Barry, what are you doing back there?
All these things are happening. You know, then we'll have a shot.
Barry, it says Laura Lynn isn't available.
I'm sorry, can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you, Barry.
Yeah, for some reason my audio dropped there, and I don't know what's going on with my Skype. It's a couple times it's done that now. Laura Lynn is not with us?
No, it says she was unavailable. She didn't take the call.
Okay. Well, sorry, I'm sorry I lost my audio there, guys. I was hearing what was going on, but I don't know why that's happening. I have no idea at all.
But,
but regardless, we do. We have a situation in Canada right now that if I honestly feel that if we don't really get on top of this right now and stop this insanity, it's going to get to a point where they have so much power that we're not going to be able to stop it. I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not. I have to look at this realistically. I look at how fast they're grabbing power and what they're doing with COVID, what they're doing with all these other things that are really starting to affect people. And it's not too far away from total chaos. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with you, Barry, but like you, me, Mark, Laura Lynn, gun owners, some church groups, they're all, we've been pushing for this, like, you know, for a long time. We need to get the message out to the mass amount of the people, so they got to start converting over and hearing the truth and fight for the same thing.
You know, we're in a race, and basically the globalists, the agenda, it's a 10-lap race. They're 7 laps in, and we're still tying our shoes, right? And so I get the urgency. I get the, you know, the now or never. I mean, I completely agree with you. The only thing that I can hope for and that I rest a lot of my hope on is the fact that all of these things are happening, and as they're happening, more and more people are waking up. More and more people are having this bubble they've created for themselves, this bubble of comfort and coziness that it's a charade. That bubble's being burst by a lot of these things. Not enough yet, but it's actually moving, and it's a natural response. And I've said this for a very long time, that I can do whatever I can do, and Jody does what Jody does, and all these other people, Barry, what you do, and everyone else, we continue to do what we're doing. We have to. We play an important role. But this mass sort of unity that we're looking for, this critical mass, is only going to happen through natural progression to the consequences of the agenda. Once everybody understands, you know, what's happening and is awakened to whatever situation they've been put in on a personal level, they will be then receptive to understanding why it's happening and how to stop it. Until this natural progression happens, we just won't have that critical mass. So I'm hopeful that in response, because at the end of the day, I know for a fact that most Canadians love freedom. They love liberty. They want justice. They want equality under the law. They want prosperity. They want jobs. They want less taxes. They want all these things. This is what we all can share across the board. And each one of those things, those values that we cherish, is under attack and going to be under attack as a consequence to this agenda. So once these people start feeling it on a personal level, they're going to be looking for answers. They're going to be looking for what the hell's going on. We are the ones that have to be there to show them and tell them what's happening and why and how to fix it.
I have to agree with you, Mark. People are actually starting to have impacts on their life by what's going on in the government. And I think as this goes on, where people do start really getting affected by what is going on in our country, you'll see more and more people get involved. I just hope that isn't past the point of where we can stop this. Because I honestly believe that they're going to get to a point where their power is going to be so great that it will be very, very difficult to put the brakes on. We're not at that point yet, but I could see that coming in the future. So my hope is that we can get them on board and quickly.
And what will happen at that point, it'll either be total submission, which I don't believe that's in the character of Canadians. I don't believe that's in our DNA, or it'll turn violent. And I really think, and I'm doing my best to avoid that end, but I think once this thing gets pushed to the point of no return, and you see the power that the globalists have and global governance and the destruction of our nation state, not only ours, but around the world, it will turn violent. It's inevitable. If we can't change this and turn the tide before, I think it's just natural. So, you know, we got a big job ahead of us, and it's overwhelming. It's very taxing, but we have to keep moving forward and building our connections and networking and bringing people together, identifying this common enemy.
Absolutely. So, Jody, is Laura going to be able to get in with us? I don't know if she was trying or she's sitting by, or are we calling in her on
a phone line? I'm playing phone tag with Steve and Laura Lynn right now. She's waiting, and Steve's trying to get hold of her.
I've already called her once. I'll call her again.
You know, Mark, the biggest problem I see in society right now is people really, they don't want to see their bubble burst, that people don't want to believe that everything that they've ever been taught in their life is not true. that their government really is not working in their best interest. Even though all these things are going on, they still don't want to come out of the matrix. And because it's a scary thought. It really is.
She's in now, Barry.
Laura Lynn is with us. Are you with us, Laura Lynn?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Hey, our first lady.
How are you doing, Laura Lynn? Hey, listen, first off, I want to thank you for coming in, Laura. And I want to thank you for coming in. And I've been watching your shows just about every day this week. I got to praise you for what you're doing. It's an honor to have you in here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you. Thank you. And I can't put my face up because I wasn't expecting this. And I don't have my eyelashes on. It's terrible. So I'm just going to use my voice today.
Well, it's an audio call anyways, Laura. So we don't do video. So you're good. But yeah, great videos you've done this week.
Thank you. Incredible guests. You know, I'm after corruption. I think that the whole establishment has lost their minds. There's stuff I can't even talk about yet. But let me tell you, people are beginning to get very bold because there's corruption. It goes, you know, from the Ministry of Social Services through the RCMP up to judges, up to through our judicial system. How can we have a good country if we have all of this going on? And of course, you know, it starts at the top with Prime Minister Trudeau. How could he even begin to look into corruption if he is already so corrupt? And it's destroying our nation.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about corruption, and I get frustrated because I know a lot of people want to target Trudeau, and that's great. He needs all the targeting we can get him with. But we also have to understand that just removing Trudeau from office doesn't solve any of our problems. In fact, it might even make them worse because people will get a false sense of security that we've eliminated. He's a straight up 100% puppet. He's not smart enough to organize a birthday party, never mind a country. He is the puppet. And so remove him and they'll have somebody fill his boots doing exactly the same thing. Doesn't matter what party either. The establishment is the establishment. When you talk about we mentioned earlier in our conversation this whole we scandal. When you actually look at who's involved in we, like the Katie Telford, well, lo and behold, Katie Telford is the same person with her husband that owns a lobbying group called Crestview, of which the conservatives have hired to run their campaign and to run their messaging. So, you know, I mean, they're all tied together. It's the establishment. They all sit back in their pearly towers and they dictate what it is that's going to happen to the rest of us. So, yes, I agree. We need to get Trudeau out, but it does not stop there. It won't end there.
Absolutely. The whole system is corrupt to the core, Mark and folks. If Trudeau was just a puppet, like you said, he didn't have a 2-hour closed door meeting with George Soros in Davos. They didn't talk about their grandchildren. The agenda was laid down to Justin, and he's doing exactly what he's being told to do. He hasn't got the brains that God gave a chicken. Excuse my expression, but you know, the guy is stuck for an answer if you ask him his name, but he's got a pretty face and the women like him. And that's what it takes to succeed in politics today in Canada. But we are really in a pile. I don't want to get off subject here, but one of the things that really is just driving me absolutely insane in British Columbia right now is the clampdown on parents' rights when it comes to transgender, to gender operations and gender insanity. Boy, I've been, you know, something I don't spend a lot of time looking into, but in the last couple of days, I've been compelled to look into this because it's directly affecting my life now in British Columbia through my family. And it's just absolutely insane. I'm going to get Laura just to talk on it for a couple of minutes, if you would, Laura, and then we'll switch subjects again. But it's something that's really near and dear to my heart right now.
Yeah, well, think of this huge scandal because we have Dr. Wally Wong, and he is the doctor. So any child who presents with gender dysphoria in a school or in a a family would be most likely referred to Dr. Wallace Wong in Vancouver, and he has bragged that he has 500 Ministry of Children of Social Services children, Ministry. Kids, foster children that are currently seeing him for their gender dysphoria. He ends up giving them referrals then to Children's Hospital. That's what has happened in other cases. Children's Hospital, very quickly getting a referral from Dr. Wong, will put kids on cross-sex hormones without even batting an eye. It doesn't matter about parental approval, support. That doesn't matter. Parental rights are right out the window. Now, you know, they say there's a lot of talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter, white privilege, all of that. Actually, what we have in Canada is LGBTQ privilege. They have privilege. They get all the special rights, all the special laws, all the special things given to them. Get the crosswalks. They get the special month-long celebrations. They get the big parade. They just get privilege. And so now the children are basically being indoctrinated in schools with LGBT transgender ideology. And when you begin telling kids unscientific things, like you can change their sex, and you trust the school with your little five-year-old go into kindergarten, and they get crazy ideas put in their mind, that is a really big problem. And that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it just drives me absolutely insane. Where are the parents? Where are people? When we look at this going on in our society, why aren't parents standing in mass against this and going to school board meetings and screaming at the top of the lungs and putting a stop to this insanity? Because it's such a small percentage of our population that are bringing these agendas forward, and none of it makes common sense. None of it. The only thing I have to say about it is, where are the parents, Laura? Why aren't they out there screaming? Because I know I am.
Yeah, it's a lack of courage. In Canada, we're really missing something. We're missing standing up for what is right and pure and good and true and something that has integrity and character. We don't seem to be able to speak in the face of the evil that has come over our land. We don't seem to be able to have courage. Well, we're afraid of losing our jobs, and I guess we know that's a reality. You know, Mark was attacked for certain things that he had said. He had people come at him. It's social terrorism. I've lost my job. People lose their jobs. Well, I'm finding out that they just created a whole great world for me because, the enemies become your footstool. If you will simply trust that you are supposed to do the right thing, not because you get something from it and you put aside what I think I call massively, where you have to have approval. So it's an approval addiction. Everybody needs to be approved of. You need to be on the in, you know, side of things. You have to give that up now, Canadians. It's time to go, you know what? Not very many are going to approve of what I have to say because they are so bought into the political correctness, but I don't care anymore. We're mad as hell, and we are not going to take it anymore. We have got to get there because hell is seizing our land, and we're so afraid of what the next parent will say or what our bosses will say or what will happen to us or social bullying might happen to us. Ooh, you know, we're so afraid of it that we don't say anything. And that's why I honor patriots like Mark Friesen, who takes on, you know, this crazy establishment and refuses to bow, and we cannot bow.
No, you can't, and that's exactly what's happening, of course. You know, you look at BLM, you mentioned BLM and what they're, I mean, it says, you know, they're communists, they're self-avowed communists. It says right in their website, in the About section, that they want the destruction of the nuclear family. And so when you're talking about trans and you talk about parents, well, what parents? I mean, there's such an attack on the nuclear family that people are almost getting to the point where they're ashamed to have a traditional two-parent home, two-parent family. You're actually shamed because you want a traditional thing. And then you stand up to those values and the values that you share and you teach your children, and you're shamed and you're vilified and you're attacked for that position. You know, it's no wonder that parents don't do this. But what's interesting, here's another example, right? So the whole trans movement, again, another issue connected to the head of the snake. So if you do a quick Google search on transgenderism and the SDGs or the UN, boom, there it is. This is all a coordinated attack on all levels, on all aspects of our society, on traditional values, on Western civilization, on Christian values that our Western civilized world is built upon, the best civilization the planet's ever seen. And this is what the attack is. It's communism, fascism, Islamism converging to destroy everything we cherish. And Laura Lynn is 100% right. If we don't motivate the sleepy, dopey Canadian and get them off their butts to finally stand up to this, we're going to lose it all.
Yeah, I mean, people think that can't happen in our country. Well, I got a newsflash for you folks. It is happening right now, and it's happening at light speed right now in our country. And unfortunately, a lot of people still go home, watch CBC, and drink that Kool-Aid and go to bed. We've got to break that paradigm, because if we, like you said, Mark, if we don't stop this soon, you know, I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy. I love my country, and I see what's going on. I can't look in the mirror right now and say my children are going to experience the same things I experienced growing up in this country. I can't say that right now, and that motivates me every day to get involved. But we have a big chore in front of us right now.
We're presently, you know, they talk about global governance, and this is what they want to achieve. They've already achieved it. Everything that Trudeau has done from the minute he was elected the first time till this very day has been in commitment to the UN and their agenda. Everything he's done. All of the NGOs, the 8,300 NGOs directly related to the UN and the SDGs, are all working in concert with each other to promote all of these ideas, all of the destruction of the nuclear family, transgenderism, the attack on energy. All of these things are done through these corrupt NGOs like we and like SNC-Lavalin as a corporation. They're all in it. They're all part of the puzzle. And it's the people that are getting screwed and the people that are going to lose everything that we cherish. So we're under global governance, and we have been for a while. We have a prime minister that's making and creating regulations, laws, not even through parliament anymore. They're using COVID to just do whatever they want, and our conservative government gives them a free pass to do it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's all there in plain sight. It for all to see. It's right under their nose. All you have to do is show them. And even then, it's not enough.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Barry, I'd like to add two things on what our Laura Lynn and Mark were saying, too. I'll go with Black Lives Matters. A lot of people don't know it's backed by George Soros and Hillary Clinton. And right. then the money goes back to the Democrats. So the Democrats equal the Liberals and the NDP in Canada. So Mark and Laura Lynn's exactly right. It's a big – they're already in, right? They're already controlling us. So that brings me to my next point. I fly lots, and when I was going to Ottawa, I know some upper management in Air Canada, and they say, what's going on in our country? Don't the people know it's a communist country now? Like, it's being run like a communist country? Because he or she came from a communist country. I go, that's why we're going to Ottawa, to fight for everything. So these Canadians don't know what's happening. They're so blinded by the truth. And that brings me to my next point about the schools, what's being taught in schools with the kids. It's starting in elementary school and carried on with the same message all the way up to college and university. So the parents are thinking, oh, this is the normal message. So I think this is why they're not questioning the schooling, because they think this is the norm. You understand?
Well, they've been indoctrinated from the first day they've gone to school.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to learn to unlearn. You know, that's what we're facing in society, is a society that is so indoctrinated that they don't know the truth, that they have no idea about history, that has been taken away from them, that all they know is what they're being taught right now in school. And, of course, if we look at the agendas in our school, the smartest thing I think anybody can do, if they can, and it's really hard in today's world because of the amount of money it takes to run a family, and most families need to have both parents working. I believe that, of course, has been set up and designed for many, many years. But the smartest thing you can do is get your kids out of the school system, because what they're turning out is pretzels. They're indoctrinating our children to be little robots. And the dysphoria in schools and what's going on, I really have a hard time understanding it all. But I don't, because I know where it's coming from. Where it's coming from, in my opinion, is the pits of hell. Laura, what do you think?
Sorry, I had you on mute there. Yeah, I think that we just have a real problem. It's on every level. We have just corruption at the top. You know, when you can't run in a Conservative Party of Canada because you don't believe in gender fluid ideology, like, what hope do we have? That was the party that we thought, you know, would maybe take care of things like this. And then, you know, thank God for people like Derek Sloan and Leslyn Lewis. They are standing for issues like that and have been very upfront. This is a new day for us, but, you know, there's still corruption. I'm finding out, and I've been reporting on my Facebook page for the last day or so, that these emails have gone to only O'Toole and McKay and not Lewis, not the whole general bunch. So O'Toole and McKay emails going to the list that they had, but not receiving from, you know, the Sloan or Lewis campaign. So right there, like, what's going on? And people are saying that there's just corruption. And so when you've got it in the party that you hoped was started by reformers and true patriots, you know, and of course we know this is a problem. We know why, you know, the PPC started. And, you know, Maxime Bernier was the only one who, he literally had to defend me in front of CBC and CTV on their shows because they were attacking me for being a transphobe, and that he was running basically a transphobe for his first candidate. Well, it's clear that millions and millions of Canadians agree with us that they want our traditional values stood for. So we have it on every level. We have Picton farm corruption where, you know, one person, Willie Picton, gets all of the charges laid on him, but we have corruption that goes all the way through all of the factions, and now they want to destroy evidence. They want to destroy pictures. They want to destroy the list of all the people, because Epstein Island, Picton Farms was our BC version of Epstein Island, and it is thick and bad and horrendous, and we have to open our eyes, you know, to the sex trafficking that's going on. And somebody has got to get to Parliament that can't be bought, for God's sakes. Why does everybody who ever gets to Parliament, you know, they something happens, you get your job, you get your money, and you just get soft, and then you need the approval again of everyone else. So I'm beside myself, but I do have hope that something's coming, because the corruption eventually gets so bad and so vile and evil that it has to be dealt with. You know, I totally agree with what Mark was saying about, you know, that you get Trudeau out, but you still have it everywhere else. You do. You have huge perversion and immorality in all areas of our society.
Yeah, it's funny. You could look at any area of our society, Laura, and that would apply. It's just the corruption is so deep and so wide. It just boggles my mind. Yeah, Canada, what do we have for representation in Ottawa now? We have the NDP colluding with the Liberals with their backdoor deals. We have the Bloc colluding with the Liberals. We have the Green Party colluding with the Liberals. We have no representation in Canada. And if you think the Conservatives aren't on board with the 2030 agenda, we'll just ask them for their stance on the Paris Climate Accord. And that speaks volumes about any party. And, of course, the Conservatives support that. They're just conservatives, so they're just globalists with lipstick on. It's just unbelievable. We have no representation in Canada anymore. We really don't. The only hope that I saw during the last election was people would get behind the PPC party, because everything on their platform is contradictory to the mainstream political media. So unless we have major changes in our government, because it's never going to fix itself. They are drunk with power now. We see what they did with COVID-19. My God, folks, you know, that was just a test. That was a major test on society to see who would absolutely conform to the fear virus would have unleashed on society. And you see the effects. Now they're going to probably bring out something that might have a little bit more bite to it. And boy, you watch, society is going to have the same results. They're never going to let this go away now, folks. They aren't. In my opinion, they're drunk with power. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. And you look at the amount of money, like, you know, what is it, $340 billion directed strictly to COVID now, which is, you know, completely destroys any idea of deficit responsibility or our debt. I mean, it's just taking us down this abyss of debt. And at the same time, you have UN officials who are running this whole scam, this whole agenda, openly saying that it's their responsibility to destroy the industrialized world, to destroy free market capitalism, and bring and usher in a new system, a new world order that now they're admitting that they've created, and they're actually promoting this new world order, and that's going to save the day. Of course, Trudeau's going to empty any coffers we have. Of course, he's going to print as much money as he needs to create more debt and more dependency on the players like China. So who's buying up all our debt in the country? Well, the Chinese are, so they can own more of our country. Trudeau wasn't wrong when he said Canada will be the first post-nation state. That's exactly what they're creating through all of this.
Yeah, Barry, and if you guys can hear me, you know, so there's that aspect. There's the whole financial economic shutdown craziness we're going through. And then there's also this new thing, and I don't know how much you guys are following about this Wayfair, where people are, they're selling pillows, you know, kind of like on, they have sites as well on Amazon and other places. So a pillow, and it's like $7,000, right? So people start figuring out that actually what it appears is that they are trafficking children through these sites. So then, it's all come out in the last few days, and there's an article on it and everything. And then somebody dug up Justin Trudeau, May 18, 2018, and he's writing, it's his tweet, so he's tweeting this. I had a great meeting in Boston with Wayfair CEO Niraj Shah, who said 200 jobs are just the beginning of what we can do, blah, blah, blah. And so, and Justin Trudeau saying, looking forward to working together to create even more jobs. Like everywhere you look, Trudeau has a connection to the worst pedophiles. His best friend from pedophile, you know, all of this. Like it just begins to go, where there's smoke, there's got to be a fire somewhere. Something's going on.
Boys, whatever. Steve wanted to ask one question. Folks, go ahead, Steve.
Yes, Laura Lynn and Mark and probably anyone else that would want to answer. I thought Mark just indicated a couple of minutes ago that Canada wanted to get rid of their fair market health system. Is that true, what you said, Mark?
No, I said that the UN attack, we have UN officials that are openly stating they want the dismantling of the free market system, capitalism.
Oh, okay. Well, my question to Laura Lynn and you, Mark, is I've done a little research on this number, so I know what the number is. It's $1.05 trillion is what the big pharma industry has at stake worldwide. It's $125 billion in the U.S. and it's $1.5 trillion worldwide. Well. First, maybe a thought on that, and what do you think they want to do as far as that? Do you think they won't lie about everything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this whole vaccine charade. I mean, I see it as equivalent to the whole climate change charade, where they were able to extract billions, probably trillions, worldwide on carbon pricing, carbon taxing, right? And that was a mechanism to fund. This agenda will cost $4.5 trillion annually, right? And so they need to get creative in extracting as much money, especially from the Western world, because that's where most of the wealth is. They need mechanisms to extract this money. Vaccines, I see this as just another mechanism for them to extract trillions of dollars from taxpayers to fund this global governance, this UN agenda. That's what I see. Ultimately, that's what this whole vaccine thing is. Plus, you get the added benefit of then injecting, while you're injecting vaccines, you're going to inject this digital ID, and they're going to be able to track you through these vaccines. You won't need your phones anymore because they can just track you, your person, wherever it is you go, connected to all of this 5G connection Nobody asked for 5G. Nobody wanted 5G. Nobody wanted this technology. But it leads into the other agenda of smart cities, of packing everybody into the city so we can follow and control the masses on a global scale. It's all connected.
Yeah, and it's such a deep rabbit hole that most people have never even really gotten underneath the surface about what you're talking about right now, Mark.
I posed that to Laura Lynn too, Barry.
Most people haven't really looked into anything that you're talking about. They don't understand that that this is way deeper than most of them can even begin to comprehend. When they have to, I tell people, when you start going down the rabbit hole, make sure you take a GPS with you because you're going to get lost.
I posed it to Laura Lynn also, Barry.
Inevitable. Go ahead, Laura Lynn. We only got about, listen, we only got about 9 minutes left. I'm going to let Laura talk for a couple minutes, then I'll give it to Mark and then to Jody, and I'll have to shut out the hour, guys. Go ahead, Laura.
Awesome. It's been great to be here. And Barry, thanks for supporting my show. I saw you there. I just so appreciate it. You say it's going down a rabbit hole, but now the rabbit hole is in full plain sight. Like when they are talking about, like Bill Gates putting out in articles saying about the vaccines, we need a worldwide vaccine. When you have Trudeau being announced on CBC and Global and all of that, 37 million syringes, like it's all there. And why, like when the fella, is it Steve, was talking about Big Pharma, absolutely. That's why hydroxychloroquine and zinc has been so maligned. And that is a simple, it is proving worldwide. And in fact, more information, more studies just came out this very week that when you get COVID-19, if you go on hydroxychloroquine with zinc immediately, you don't have nothing. You feel better within like 12 hours, and most people will have full recovery and not even barely know they have COVID-19. But nobody wants to talk about that. They want to say that, you know, you're going to die. Why? Because nobody will make any money off hydroxychloroquine and zinc because it's been around for 60 years. It's all patented, and you know, like nobody can make any money off of it, but they can make huge money off of a vaccination. So I think that all the elites are sitting around trying to think, how do we get dollars out of every human being alive? And the ones that are expendable, they got no money, will just depopulate. You know, it's no secret. It's not even a rabbit hole anymore. It's like plain sight. If you just follow my website or some of the stuff that you guys and Mark Friesen puts up, you're going to see it plain sight. We got a big problem, and we have to be awake to it, and we have to stand up and fight back. And that's why we fight masks. We don't fight masks because we are selfish and we don't care if anyone gets COVID-19. No, you know what? We're probably all herd immunity anyways. Who knows? But we fight masks because once they see that we comply so easily with masks, then we comply with vaccinations. And so it's been great being on the show. You guys take it from here.
Thanks, Laura Lynn, for joining us. Always a pleasure. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she's absolutely right. And so when she talks about, you know, having 7 billion people vaccinated and a way to extract that money. So out of that 7 billion, who's paying for the majority of those 7 billion? It isn't the majority of the 7 billion individuals that will be paying for it. It'll be taxes. It'll be the Western world. It'll be where the wealth is. That's who's going to fund all of this. This coming out of our coffers. Same as the climate tax. Same as the climate change and carbon pricing scheme. It's all about redistribution of wealth and destroying the Western world, destroying free market capitalism. You know, you get some people that want to, you know, denounce capitalism as it is right now in the elites. Well, that's not capitalism. That's fascism. That's crony capitalism. That has nothing. It doesn't resemble free market capitalism in any way, which is what Western civilization based its system on. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, all of this is, there's a head of the snake, and we have to be strong. And the only way we're going to be strong is with the masses at critical mass. And we have to get the message out to as many people as possible in any way, shape, or form to enlighten them and tell them exactly what's happening, why it's happening. Because it's the people, ultimately, that have the power. The elites know this. That's why they've worked so hard to indoctrinate the masses. We need to be and push through and punch through this narrative, the media wall that they have. We have to punch through it. We have to get to the masses because that's where the power ultimately resides. And, I mean, that's it. That's why I work so hard. That's why I run as a candidate. That's why I go to Ottawa on these protests. That's why I do everything I do, is to get a platform to try to reach as many people as possible. If you know, that's it. That's what we have to do.
And you know what? And dirty politics is going on because there's, you know, people, I can't mention their name, but they've already been offered that, you know, if they'll go over to the, you know, the Peter McKay campaign or whatever, and go, you know, CPC, they'll get a seat, right? They'll offer them a seat afterwards, and then different ones are finding out that they're offering that to several people in the same riding. So they're stealing PPC candidates. They're offering different people. They're full of it. There's nothing real about it. And, you know, the corruption just continues. So it's going to be an interesting year, you guys.
It is. Hey, Mark, I thank you for what you're doing. And Laura, I thank you for what you're doing. And Jody, I'm going to let you make a comment, and then I am going to have to shut out the hour. But I applaud you folks for what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to drop a bombshell here. I was going to yield my time to Laura Lynn, but I'm going to drop a bombshell. Justin Castro, his buddy... people should Google this. Peter Daglish got arrested April 7th for child abuse, and the kids were 12 and 14. So that's my bombshell for the radio show. But I yield my time to Mark or Laura now. Thanks, Barry.
Well, that's a bombshell, to say the least. Unless you guys want to say something quickly before I shut it out, I'll thank you again for joining me.
Thanks, Steve.
I hope that you'll oblige me and join me sometime again in the future, Laura. I would be honored.
I'd love to. Thank you so much. Great to be with you guys.
Okay, and Mark, always good talking to you, my friend. And again, thank you guys for what you're doing. But really, you know, anybody that knows what we know at this particular point in our lives, we're compelled to speak. We cannot be silent. And maybe we were chosen to be here at this particular time in history. I don't have the answer to that question, but I know I can't be silent. Thanks for joining me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Barry. Much appreciated. Thank the platform, thanks, my
Barry.
Friend.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, well, I'm going to take about a 3 or 4 minute break here, and then I'm going to be back with Billy Joyce and Jürgen Wallrath. And I know Jürgen's pretty wound up today, so it should be an interesting conversation. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes, guys. welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks to Laura Lynn and Mark and Jody for joining me the first hour. That was a great conversation, and look forward to having them back here real soon. I got two other great guests in for the second hour. I got Jürgen Vollrath in me and Billy Joyce. Anybody that's heard my shows, heard these gentlemen many times talk on my shows, and I've been looking forward to this one because I know Jürgen's kind of a little bit teed off, and I know Billy's a little bit teed off, and we're going to talk about some stuff that's bugging their butts today. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Doing great. Great to be here.
We'll start off with Jürgen first, and then we'll give Billy a chance to talk, because I know, Billy, there's a pile of stuff going out in Nova Scotia I want to hear about, and Jürgen, you're in Alberta, so we'll cover the country today.
Well, great to be on your show, Barry, and hi, Billy. Great to be on with you.
Hi, Jürgen. Nice to be on with you, and thanks, Barry, for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to be together with Patriots, and, you know, I just, in looking at our life and what is going on in this country right now, I look back in history, and back in the day, we voted for people that were chosen based on their connection with the will of the people. They find the pulse of the public, what we require. They choose a couple of these key things, and then they develop their talking points. And what they do is they kind of play this game that if one side fails, then in the next cycle we kick them out because the other side jumps on the issue. One thing remains the same, and that is the consistent failure of both sides to live up to people's expectations, right? And so negativity rules. So we're already, humanity is put in a sort of a dark place because now we're voting for the lesser of two evils, which now kind of rules the day. So you've got negativity and evil thrown into this equation, and it's the one common consistency no matter who or what is in charge. It's a vicious circle that must be broken that you discussed in your last hour, and I have to give a shout-out to Mark and Laura Lynn. You had a great show in the last hour, great discussion. It's nice to see these things being talked about. We are being inundated with lies, misinformation, and propaganda, and the great majority have lost their ability to use reason and logic. Common sense is replaced by political correctness. Males have been turned into beta males constantly, and strong men are rejected. Women are told they don't need men as other genders are readily available. We have drag queen story hour, and the great majority of children are not able to write properly or do math. We have abortions being popular, and euthanasia is rising. White people are now admonished for their skin color. War division is created daily. Recently, we have new ones. Masks or no masks, essential, non-essential. Oh, and the biggie, vaccinate or no vaccinate. See, in one pandemic, they created three new societal divisions, and actually, they have a fourth one. And that's to social distance or not, right? We have diabetics that pay for care while junkies are given free access. We have a system where parents are no longer allowed time with their children. They have to work hard and pay taxes as they get indoctrinated into some kind of gender twilight zone that denies science. The only good science nowadays is government paid for findings in science. Other scientists are denied and rejected. Much like conservative women are rejected by the left feminist movement, and much like successful black conservatives are all Uncle Toms. Our children are forced to watch depravity as grown men dress in drag and children lie on them. They are told they can be the opposite sex before they know the alphabet, while mommy and daddy are told this is progressive. They set up warriors to fail with faulty and outdated equipment while paying for sex change operations, yet not paying for prosthetics to those who sacrifice. Left, right, it doesn't matter. The rainbow is now associated with a group of alphabet warriors who undermine the natural evolution of mankind, where family comes from a petri dish and love between a man and a woman are considered passe. The people we put in positions of power do the bidding of those above them. So no matter who we elect their platform before elections, it's never what happens after, with usually some minor exceptions. Take, for example, Trudeau declares Canada a post-national state almost immediately on being elected, but had never spoken a word of this massive shift in Canadian identity before the election. Before the election, Canadians were tolerant, understanding, and caring people, and all of a sudden, now, 4 or 5 years later, we are all white supremacists, racists. We were declared a pan-gender society. Need I remind people that Pan is the god of treachery and debauchery? Now we find out that GMs, Hollywood elite, royalty lawyers, judges, police, prosecutors, all possibly involved in child sex trafficking on a massive scale with billions in profit, Satan-worshipping pedophiles. There I said, somebody has to. Now we see our PM seemingly under house arrest, pretending all is well while the globalist media begs him for more cash.
Keep going! Keep going! That's the best rant I've heard in a while, man! Where'd that come from, you? Holy smokes, Batman!
May I finish? How do you follow
that? Go ahead!
Another charity, Regale the Children, of which we have 40,000, gets almost $1 billion from Trudeau, only to learn they pay the whole family outrageous fees. Theo Fleury was told that no one gets paid to speak there. Yep. This is psychological warfare and torture of the populace on a massive global scale so they can continue to hide in their ultra-modern submarines on secluded island paradises and get us to believe there is no God while they worship the God of darkness. We're sold a secular school system only to allow radical Islam to enter the halls of education. Censorship for Christianity, which built this country, and elevation of cultural divide. You have to wear a helmet, but you over there, you don't have to. We will take your hunting rifles as handgun crimes escalate and more people get murdered in the big cities. Unity is rebuffed while diversity is sold as a strength, and if we kill them, they win, as every child gets a trophy no matter the effort. But the majority care not, as their idols are placed upon unearned pedestals. The majority issues forced on us by the current administration is the perfect example. As no one mentioned before the election that borders would be opened or our oil and gas industry completely dismantled and destroyed and our money poured into UN coffers and interests. Patriots gather by the thousands on the Hill and go to the U.S. Embassy with major crimes against our rulers, denied access to the mainstream news while riots by BLM are exalted. A pandemic is here now. And we're led by a gender-specifically chosen group of double agents that care not for our well-being, only that they follow the rules of the post-national state run by the UN that do not care for the interests of Canadians. Welcome to the New World Order. We are deeply in it, and you had best realize that our best chance to survive resides in the White House. The only thing that has kept Canada from becoming China West is the powerful U.S. Constitution. There, I'm out.
Well, how do we add? How do we even begin to add to that, Billy? Okay, Billy, I'm going to let you take a stab at that, my friend. Hey, Jürgen, that was awesome, buddy. Can we put that on video and play that again, please?
What I find very interesting, though, is the one thing that isn't under attack is the paradigm that they've created for us to make us believe that we actually have a choice. And if people don't let go... Because I find it really ironic that we're letting go of our cultural identity, but people are not letting go of their political identity based on how grandma and grandpa voted. And I find that's the one thing, it seems. Because what Jürgen was saying is, yeah, the people that we elect are supposed to represent us, but what happens is at election time, it's almost as though the party that wins sees that as consent to carry out whatever they put in their platform. Instead of the people giving them their platform, they create the platform, and then if you vote the way grandma or grandpa did, you're condoning their platform. Mm. And that is a big problem we have in Canada, is getting people out of that paradigm. I saw a TikTok video today. It was a young girl with blue hair, and it was only 1 minute. And she said, how is it she put it? She said, a week ago, I would have pissed in this man's coffee. I was trolling his page. I hated him. She was talking about Trump. And she's like, and then it dawned on me. She's like, this man is going after human traffickers. People aren't cluing in that this man could have been a double agent. Never drank, never did drugs. He could have been in keep your enemies close, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. And she said that now she'd probably support Trump. So I think the younger generation, like my kids, when I explain to my kids who are 12 and 11 what Black Lives Matter is, and then I show them the website and I show them their mandate and I tell them a bit about the history and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. And I mean, here in Canada, Rosa Parks, I mean, you tell them about this stuff. And they go, well, why are they complaining that nothing's changed in 400 years? And they're 12 and 11. So I think we are doing our job, but we have to keep doing our job. It's like what Jürgen just rhymed off there should be used as an opener for every single Canadian truther, and we should pay Jurgen a certain amount of money to air it on our channels. Because everything he just said there describes to a T what's happening, and it couldn't be said in any plainer language. I mean, some people may want to use it for themselves, but it has to be said and it has to be told to our youth. Right now, with everything in lockdown, and we don't have the socialist teachers with their hands on our kids, now might be the time to educate our children on real history and what's really going on in the world so that they can take that back to the public education system when they go back. And
yeah,
you teach them to stand up for themselves. This whole conservative, liberal, NDP, Green Party narrative, people should be waking up to it, because the fact that Peter McKay is the front runner, I haven't really been paying attention to the to that leadership race. Is that done yet? No one was picked yet, right?
No,
it's still McKay and O'Toole that are the two front runners.
And Laura, that Leslie, what's okay? I can't.
Leslie Lewis.
Yeah, Leslie Lewis. She's getting a lot of support too. But the good thing about that, Billy, is I mean, like him or hate him, Derek Sloan's getting a lot of support, and he's laying down very strong conservative values. Actually, the strongest conservative values I've heard out of the Conservative Party in years. Whether he's real or not remains to be seen. But I've listened to him talk, and of anybody that's talking right now, he's the only one that's making sense.
The problem is,
in my opinion,
if he becomes the leader, what happens is that the entire party brass comes down on him, and that includes the Mulroneys of the world and the Harpers of the world, and you know.
I don't think that matters. I think you know. It's really hard, Billy, to, you know, you don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be misled. You don't want to think that, you know, something is real if it's not, because we've all gone through that. We've put hopes and we've thought about things and we've kind of come up with ideas about people and it's turned out to be wrong. But what I've listened to the guy talk, he sounds like he's got fortitude. Now, whether or not he does remains to be seen, but I don't think he's going to bend on his issues, and that's what he is putting forward, and that's what he's asking people to vote on. So regardless, it's a breath of fresh air in Canada for a man to come out and speak the way he has against so much blatant corruption in our government.
Well, the
like
problem,
I said, whether it's real or not remains to be seen, but it is putting
problem,
information forward.
The biggest problem is going to be getting the word out in Atlantic Canada, because other than Peter McKay, you hear nothing.
The East Coast, man. They're totally brainwashed liberal deadbeats, and they've been like that for years, Billy. How do you break that paradigm?
It's a good question. I would have thought this Nova Scotia shooting would have woken people up, and I think it did. I think there are a lot of people that have woken up to the idea that the RCMP is not always telling us the truth, and our politicians are not always telling us the truth, and a lot of it's BS. And the whole plandemic in Nova Scotia, I mean, the entire province was shut down, and 99% of the deaths were in one nursing home. I think we had between 65 and 70 deaths total, and I think over 60 of them were in one nursing home. So yeah, a lot of people are kind of, why did we shut down the province for that? What they do is they spin it around and say, well, if we hadn't taken the precautions we did and put in place the measures that we did, it could have been worse. So
well, they allowed it to come into the country. They propagated it. They wanted the results. We know what's going on behind the scenes, but to get the general public to understand that, it's like you're dealing with the CBC Kool-Aid every night. You know, they go home and they drink it and they go to bed. What do you think, Jurgen?
I agree with everything you're talking about and everything you say. I mean, we're at the point in the history of our country where you either, you know, that old saying, or get off the pot. You either do something or get off the pot. And I'm very appreciative right now of a fellow named Wayne Peters. And no matter what you think of him or what you know of him, he's out in Ottawa right now camping up to protest. So we have some patriots in this country that are standing strong. I have to give a shout out to all of them, because as a fellow who's 70 years old and have been fighting this system for so long and having given so many speeches on the Hill in my time, it's very refreshing for me to see the youth like Mark and Laura Lynn and all these other people pick up where I've asked probably for the last 20 years, where's the young people coming to take my place on the front lines? Because the front lines, when you're on the front lines for so many years and nobody listens to you, and especially in this country, and I, I wrote something the other day, and would you allow me to read this as well?
You can do anything you want, Jürgen. How's that?
Okay. Let me read this to you. It's kind of a little historical thing I wrote the other day. It came to me early in the morning, and it just stuck with me all day. I had to put it on paper, and I think it's quite heartfelt. So please listen to this. I hope your audience gets something out of this. It's been a while since Burton wrote, "This land was growing strong." It's been a time since Gordon sang that Edmund Fitzgerald song. The stories of our history echoed on the waves, on radios and vinyl discs. The people were strong and brave. Canada fought so valiantly as brothers went to die. On foreign battlefields, they let their blood run dry. But now we see the future beyond those horrid days. Mothers grieving endlessly, losing their sons so far away. The battle cry then was unified. The enemy was clear. He wanted to take our freedoms, the things we hold so dear. But that is ancient history. The time has gone so fast. A new age is upon us. And we pray this age won't last. It beckons wicked sources that drive us all apart. It steals us from our energy while poisoning our hearts. The wedge is being driven. The fear that lingers now creates new animosities where even sons admonish their moms, where people become animals and regress towards a past where only the strong survive and the rest just will not last. The age we are upon respects the dark, not the light. It beckons from beyond and creates a world of fright. It doesn't do any good for all humanity. It's there for all to realize this true reality. We pray for an awakening, the likes we've never seen. When all the people rise as one like the tide comes from the sea, we pray that day befalls us with haste and reverie. Then humans will rejoice as one in a world of harmony. There.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
you almost had me in tears.
I feel your passion, buddy. I really do. And that's one of the things about having you on that every time I get you on, I feel it because it's real. That you, like you said, you've been fighting this for years. I'm new in the fight. I've only been involved in this for the last 7 or 8 or 9 years of my life when I really started to wake up to what's going on around me. But I applaud you for what you've done in your life. And it's frustrating to be on. Beyond what we can even begin to understand, why the general public isn't able to sit down and have a look in the mirror and ask themselves what is really important in their lives at this particular point. And if they look at what's going on in our country and it doesn't alarm them and it doesn't motivate them into getting busy, then we've lost a good percentage of the population. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, at the end of your show, like what Jürgen alluded to, Trump maybe being the answer to our problems in Canada. And at the end of your show, I'm not sure which guest mentioned it, but they mentioned the arrest of Peter Dalglish.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Now, I spoke of Peter Dalglish in May of 2018.
Yeah.
On my YouTube channel. I think what's happening in Canada is all these news are being hidden from us by the CBC, CTV, Global, you name it. I mean, you can't watch any American. The only American network even remotely telling the truth would be Fox. So Canadians are new to the idea of going to search out their news on the internet. But I think more and more people are doing it because of what's happening recently with COVID-19. You know, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Closing borders is no good. Oh, closing borders saves lives. People are cluing in that there have been lies told, and now the cover-up of those lies are being told. And then, so who do you believe? Do you believe Theresa Tam 3 months ago or Theresa Tam now? And if she wasn't believable back then and the science wasn't sound back then, why should I believe her now, and why does she still have a job? It's like Justin Trudeau. I can't go to the USMCA meetings because of COVID-19, but I can go take a knee on Parliament Hill with 10,000 people protesting Black Lives Matter.
The hypocrisy.
You know, well, not just hypocrisy. It's the common sense behind it and the logic behind it. It's, okay, well, is COVID-19 really that dangerous if you can go kneel down in front of with 10,000 people, but then you claim that you can't go deal with President Trump on the most important trade deal in our history?
Yeah.
You know, and not even
question, folks.
Not a single Canadian delegate at that meeting that Trump had with the Mexican president.
Yeah, he never even sent anyone down there. That's what really is puzzling.
Right.
Yeah, and no outcry on Canadian mainstream media. Not a word about it. Mum's the word.
No, they are you serious, folks?
They all supported it, and they all kind of laughed about it, saying, yeah, COVID-19, Trump doesn't wear a mask, so Trudeau's not going down.
But that was their little blurt on it. They didn't actually get into why Trudeau is not attending the most important meeting in the last 20 years between our countries. And they're laughing at it. Where's Trudeau? Where's the Canadian government? I mean, the whole world's going, where's Trudeau? Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? Find him. Go ahead.
Where are they on that Obamagate? Right? Where's the media on Obamagate? You look at Watergate and what they did to Richard Nixon, and as a historian and having followed politics my entire life, especially American politics, because I love the American Constitution, and I pray every day that Canadians would have access to a piece of paper that legitimizes their quest for life and the pursuit of happiness and liberty and all that sort of stuff.
Amen.
I really admire that kind of stuff. But here we've got Obamagate, where the Obama campaign spied on President Trump's campaign. Everybody knows it. The FBI was involved. Hillary Clinton was involved. They all paid huge amounts of money. Not a single leftist has gone to jail. Not a high-ranking diplomat. Nobody has gone to jail over all this stuff. It puts Watergate to shame in terms of what it was in the scope of historical events. This is massive. It involved the FBI, the Department of Justice, so many different institutions that
the CIA.
Brought over to the leftist side ever since the elder Bush was in power. We're talking 24 years of taking these institutions and weaponizing them against the people.
What's interesting with that, though, Jurgen, is with the USMCA deal signed and in effect on July 1st, in combination with the documents that Norm Traversy put forward, when you consider, if let's say Trudeau was involved in the whole FISA thing, because we know the Five Eyes were involved in some way, shape, or form. So if Trudeau's aware of that, they could very well have been waiting for that to come into effect before opening those indictments. I think something's happening. That Ghislaine Maxwell being arrested, that all ties into Peter Dalglish. I'll bet you the amount of human trafficking going on in Canada and the government knowing about it, or at least people in the government knowing about it, I think that might be shocking to us as well when it's revealed. And I think it's going to be revealed. I don't know if you heard of those container terminals that were found in, I believe it was Norway, with they called them torture chambers in them.
Yeah, I saw that.
Been seeing pictures of cages and underground tunnel facilities that house these children where they use them for the Wayfair and all these other organizations that are coming out now and we're finding out have ties to Soros, Clinton Foundation, all of them.
It boggles my mind, the depths of evil. It really does, gentlemen.
And the people don't know.
And, you know, you look at the Catholic Church, how they're all involved in this. You look at the royal family, how their involvement. You look everywhere. It doesn't matter where you seem to look. They all seem to be involved in the same stuff. But then, you know what? If you look at the attendee list, and you can go find it on the internet, folks, the attendee list for the Bohemian Grove for the last 50 years, study those lists, and your jaw will drop, but in the same mouthful it won't, because it'll explain to you why and how we got to where we are right now. These people are beyond evil, and they all deserve to be put in hell, in my opinion. But go ahead.
Bohemian Grove is a bad one because of the occult rituals and stuff that go on there. But if you were to actually list the amount of secret meetings that are held annually, like the Bilderberg conference, for example, I had friends in the military that didn't believe me when I spoke of Bilderberg 10 years ago until they had to run security at the one in, I think it was in Toronto. Yep. It was either in Toronto or Ottawa. They had a Bilderberg conference in Canada. So it was Ottawa.
The Montreal Accord, we could talk about the Bilderberg meetings, we could talk about all the secret meetings, but really it's a select group of individuals that are pulling the strings around the planet. We all know that. I think they are starting to wake up to that. I do see a shift in people's thought, but in the same mouthful, I don't believe it's coming as fast as it needs to come at this point. So we got to put our foot to the metal right now. And that speech at the beginning of the show, Jurgen, I would like to have that put on video, and I'd like to play that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I'd love it as well.
You said it all. You said it all.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that just to flatter you. I really meant it when I said I'd love to have a copy of that.
Well, thanks, Billy. I really appreciate that. Maybe what I'll do is I can video it.
and throw it out there somehow. I don't know. I'm just so bad with computers and stuff. I just, you know, I'm good, great at writing. I can write. I love writing. You know,
it doesn't take much to do a video. We can figure that out for you. And I'm sure somebody will help you out with that.
And if if you don't want to do a video, you just want to send me the text along. I'll give you full credit, and I'd probably read it myself if you don't want to do it yourself. And I'll put like screenshots to it, articles like newspaper articles and like little video clips to it. I'll do a montage of it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'll tell you what. Why don't you through Barry or whatever get me your email address?
Yeah, I'll do that.
And what I'll do is I'll fire.
After the show, we'll stay on and I'll give you all that information.
Okay. That's cool. Perfect. That's perfect.
We won't bore the audience with that now.
We have to all work together. And this is obviously a sign. I really appreciate the accolades. It's not about me, you guys. It's not about you. And you guys all know that. And that's what's beautiful about this thing. We are not in this for us. We are in this for future generations to protect this country and to see things. I hear people now talk about how great life was in the 80s, and I'm looking at them and saying, you know what? You don't even know what it was like in the 50s and 60s. You should have seen it then. You thought you were free in the 80s. You were not. We had way more in the 50s and the 60s. You should have seen it. It was insane.
It was beautiful.
All kinds of things. You could talk about everything. Every word in the dictionary was allowable, even those seven words that George Carlin said you couldn't say on TV. They were still there.
Billy wasn't a boy. Yeah.
You could drink water out of your hose and nobody died.
Yeah, you could run around the neighborhood and you'd get arrested for being out with your parents, weren't charged and put in jail for negligence.
We used to ride our bicycles behind the truck to spray the DDT on our dusty road.
We used to throw snowballs at the buses in Toronto, and they chased us all the way home, man. We were kids, and we were allowed to beat kids, man. I can't imagine growing up in today's world. Little boys aren't allowed to be little boys. I mean, we grew up, all we did growing up was look for trouble to get into, because we were little boys. And that's what we did, man. And now that's been taken away incrementally out of society. Now what do we have? Little boys that don't know what it's like to even enjoy life as a child. It's all been taken away from us. I grew up in a different age, and so did you, Jürgen. You're a little bit older than me now, and I look at my childhood, cops and robbers and going to find snakes down at the Humber River and chasing all the girls in the neighborhood, and just trying to find trouble to get into. And that's what we did.
It's interesting. it's interesting because we live that in the rural area that I grew up in. We live that in the 1980s and 90s as well. But it takes a while. Like back in the 50s and 60s where I live, people were still living in they were still using slop pails and outhouses because it took a while for the energy grid to get to us where we're at. We're way out in the boonies. Like I'm literally on the East Coast. Like literally, I get in a boat, I go east, I end up in France or Great Britain somewhere.
You know, part of the country. I love that part of the country, Billy. You're with some wonderful people out there. Every time I've gone down east, I met wonderful, wonderful people. I just, you know, the people of this land are the most tolerant that you will find. And this notion that we are somehow now some kind of a racist, white supremacist country is just the most backwards thing I've ever heard in my life. We've all gotten along with each other, but the division being created is just way, way out of hand. We have to stop it. We've got to get together. And the fact that we're doing this, the first hour, the second hour, we're talking about things nobody talks about. Hopefully more people are listening, Barry. I wish you guys could get an idea on how many listeners you have. That'd be great for you.
You know what, to me, Jürgen, it doesn't matter if I have 5 listeners or 50 listeners or 500 listeners. I'll always keep talking. I've asked the station if I can find out. I don't know if I can find that information out, but it doesn't matter. I know there's a few people out listening there, and to me, that's what's important.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, there's just not enough money in the world that you could pay me to be silent about what I know. Because right now, Jürgen, my heart is broken. My heart is broken for this country. And I am not in fear. I'm not percents because I have a faith in Jesus Christ, and that is my fortitude in my life right now. But what I see coming for the human race, it tears my heart apart. The suffering that people are going to go through, and what can I do about it? I can't. I can't save the world. All I can do right now is express my feelings.
And well, we appreciate what you do on your show, Barry, that's for sure. And listen, I've got, before I forget, I got to throw this out there. For all your listeners out there who take any kind of medication, if they demand that you wear a mask, I got two words for you. Latrogenic reaction. Memorize those two words. Latrogenic reaction. A latrogenic reaction is if you're taking various medications for other ailments that you may have, if they tell you to wear a mask or to get vaccinated, right? Refuse the vaccination because you may get latrogenic reaction from effects by combining the vaccine with your medications. Latrogenic reaction, remember it.
I got to tell you a real quick story here, guys. There's a lady that just I talked to a couple weeks ago about the effects of wearing a mask for 8 hours a day, what the effects are of inhaling and recycling your own carbon dioxide, the undeniable physical effects and medical effects it has on your body. I told her that there's hundreds, literally, of peer-reviewed reports out there and studies of the effects of hypoxia, and I can't pronounce the name of the other one, but all that being said, she's ready to retire from Tim Hortons and said, well, you know what? I'd quit and I'd go get myself a lawyer and I'd sue their butts. I said, go home and spend an hour on the internet and look at the effects of rebreathing your own air. And she couldn't believe it, Jürgen. She, you know, why didn't my employer tell me that there is possible complications from wearing a mask? They say absolutely nothing. They're forcing their $12.85 hour employees to wear masks for 8 hours while they're on shift, fighting an absolute nothing burger. Well, Jürgen, she went and got herself a lawyer that is willing to work on a percentage, and she is suing Tim Hortons for a large sum of money. Where it goes, I don't know, but she has found herself a lawyer that's willing to work on a percentage.
Good.
And I said, kudos to you, lady. Yeah. I just cannot believe what this means, and maybe we'll get some public attention about this issue because it's absolute insanity what you're doing to your body. By wearing a mask is 10 times as worse as anything the coronavirus can do to your body. This is an absolute nothing burger. Has the knockdown power of a very light flu, to say the least, that it isn't affecting healthy individuals in our society, that we've turned our world upside down. But really, to me, gentlemen, this wasn't about that at all. This was about a test to find out how society was going to react when they threw a little fear virus out there and they saw everybody run into the couches and hide. And those people, of course, their algorithms are being put on computers, and people like myself or anybody else that's speaking against the narrative is on another set of computers. They are taking note of this. And the next one they unleash, I believe we'll have a little bit more, maybe quite a bit more knockdown power, where you're actually starting to see effects in society. Where the hospitals are actually seeing patients, which they aren't. And where is that going to go? Society's going to give them the same reaction. This was kind of like a big test, in my opinion. But go ahead. My thoughts.
Go ahead, Billy.
Well, one of the problems that this has created is people going undiagnosed for other things because they're scared to go to the doctor's office because they've been told that only coronavirus patients should go. I have a friend of mine who laid on his couch for 4 days in kidney failure. Fearful of going to the doctor because, well, COVID-19, and it turns out his kidneys were failing and he had some rare autoimmune disorder, and if his boss hadn't knocked down his door and found him, he probably would have died on his couch. Another gentleman had been sick for 2 or 3 months, not feeling well at all, but didn't want to go to the doctor, finally had no choice to go. Turned out he had cancer, had a week to live by the time he was diagnosed. Died four days after diagnosis.
I've heard multiple stories about people not being able to get access to medical services they need, and the results.
Hey, that's
absolute insanity.
That's two in a population of 3,400. If you count my entire island that I live on, 3,000 people, two have died because they couldn't get to the hospital because they were paranoid about going to the doctor.
Crimes against humanity, gentlemen. That's where we're at.
This is a massive scale.
You look at the five Democratic governors down in the U.S. that force COVID patients into these nursing homes. That's murder. I don't care how you dress it up.
That is murder. You went against the federal government guidelines. Totally against them. Look in New York where Trump sent that huge ship. They never used the ship. They never used the temporary hospitals they set up in Washington State. They were all empty. Instead, they pour people into these nursing homes and kill tens of thousands of people. It's absolutely a disgrace. And these people need to... I'm sorry. I got to stop.
Yeah, what's ironic and all that, though, is that Andrew Cuomo is being portrayed as a hero in Canadian media, whereas Trump is being demonized at every turn.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, what a travesty that is in our media, man. You talk to people in Canada about Trump, and they go, that white supremacist, racist athlete. Hey, I mean, he's just the worst president they've ever seen in their history. People, can't you sit and tune into one of the places that I'm kind of looking at now is the Buffalo Chronicle. Billy, have you heard of them? Or Jurgen?
Yes.
Look them up. They're publishing stories that just, I'll tell you, man, people got to go there, folks. Go look it up and start reading some of the articles in that newspaper. There's a new organization that's really bringing stuff out.
I featured them in my last YouTube video, Barry.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been aware of them for a while. I've been actually following them for quite a while now, Billy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's you that put me onto them. Maybe you're the first person that shared articles with me, but I got in articles at first on Justin Trudeau and his wife being separated and his cousin-in-law or something along those lines blowing the whistle on the liberals being involved in pedophilia.
Yeah.
And then there was the whole gag order on... the school that the girl that he abused at the school that he used to teach at in British Columbia.
Yep.
I mean, they have some.
Yeah, just right a couple miles away from the Picton Farm. Imagine that.
Right.
Nothing to see there, Billy.
Right. And I mean, I was talking to another lady who does radio shows here. She's actually spoken of the incident with Prince, with the Queen and Prince Philip at that residential school back in the 60s. So, and she's not a woman that I would have thought in for a second would have covered that story, and she's fully aware of it and believes it 100% as well.
Nice.
So there are people waking up to some horrific truths, but we just have to keep plugging away at it. And what I'm hoping is that in combination with the U.S. efforts to clean up human trafficking worldwide, Norm Traversy's documents, and then Rocco Galati is also bringing forward a case against, I believe it's the federal government, on the whole coronavirus thing.
Yeah, so, and CBC.
And this, there you go. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of all those. And you never know. You sometimes justice can move swiftly if a lot of the legwork's already been done.
Well, if you know, to what I see happening right now, gentlemen, is that there is so much coming out that if the mainstream wants to retain any kind of credibility in any shape or form, they're going to have to start reluctantly exposing some of this stuff, because it is out there now in the public domain. The information about the We Charity, how that was exposed on CBC and CTV.
Of course, you read my mind.
Yeah, well, you know, Billy, they doctored it, of course, but if that doesn't get people asking questions, it should refresh memories of the SNG Lavalin scandal and Jody Wilson Raybals and everything else that just gets brushed underneath the table and never talked about again. If we were to compile, gentlemen, a list of the criminality of Justin Trudeau, we could probably ramble on. What do you think? You're going to about 2 minutes maybe of solid ramble of things that he should be literally in jail for at this point, and he's walking through. We're in a full-blown fascist dictatorship, gentlemen. Period. Go ahead.
There's so much we could talk about. You know, when I think of the Trudeaus and the Trudeau family, I think of the deception that they befell on me when I was an 18-year-old kid and I helped Pierre Trudeau get elected in Ottawa, living in Ottawa, of course, surrounded by sons and daughters of bureaucrats in high school there and diplomats. I went to all kinds of diplomatic parties. I was totally engulfed in the youth liberal movement. I look back on my history and I think, gee, my German relatives were probably Hitler youth, just like I was a Trudeau youth. It's amazing how history repeats itself. And I didn't even know he was a communist, probably like my relatives in Germany didn't know that Hitler was a fascist. So they all became Hitler Youth, like I became a Trudeau Youth here in Canada, believing that this man was going to do the right thing for us. And it wasn't until a few years later that I found out personally that he was a communist. And that's when my world fell apart. And that's when I realized that this Liberal Party had left me. I never left the Liberal Party. It was the party of centrist and middle-of-the-road thought. It took the best from the left. It took the best from the right. It created what we thought was a society that was fair to those that were disenfranchised, as well as those who wanted to advance their life in an entrepreneurial, individual manner. So it kind of took the best of both of those worlds. And that's why I think a lot of the liberal policies back in the 40s and 50s really brought a lot of people into their fold, because they were so centrist. They did take the best from both sides. They did realize that people needed welfare. They didn't just shun people. Look, they even went as far as to saying, well, let's have free health care, which is the first step into the communist world we're living in now, which is control. They control your health. They control your money. They got you, right? So, you know, we watched that evolution, and now we're at the point where, like you discussed in the first hour with Black Lives Matter and all these radical leftist groups, the indoctrination that our children have been under in the educational system, where parents don't know who the school trustees are. They vote for people blindly when they go to vote for them. I've never known who the school trustees were back in my day. I never knew who they were. I always clicked the first five people that were on the ballot. So alphabetically, you always had people with last names that started with A and B in the school board, because you didn't know the people with the last names with the letters of VW. They probably didn't get elected most of the time. That's just the way it was and the way it is. And that's our problem, right? That's our problem. There's no accountability for our educational system. That's our biggest failure, our biggest problem, our biggest letdown to the children, for sure.
Well, absolutely. If you get the children, you've got the society. If you destroy the family unit and in society, that society will collapse. And we could look at history to know that. But, of course, history is being taken away at a very, very quick rate right now. They don't want us to know history. It doesn't play into their agenda at all. At all. Billy, what do you think?
Well, the problem is all the parties now in Canada will favor, I mean, even I'm pretty sure the People's Party of Canada would support universal health care. But the health care that we have, if you took away the cronyism that goes on, like how many billion-dollar corporations in Canada are only billion-dollar corporations because they keep getting government funding?
Yeah.
You know, if a company gets funding to buy their infrastructure, and then they get funding to employ temporary foreign workers, and they build an empire based on government funding that they received and temporary foreign workers that were paid for by the government, well, then when they sell off that company and they make millions or hundreds of millions off of it, who actually paid for it? And why is it that they get away with that? It makes no sense to me that 87 families in Canada are richer than New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and PEI combined. That just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem, as much as we look at America as being corrupt on that level, I think Canada's even worse. We live in an oligarchy. It's like communism mixed up with oligarchy.
It is, and the distance is growing between the rich and the have-nots. That is accelerating in our society.
Well, and what's happening is the rich look at a family like the Irvings. The Irvings, is it? They say they come from what's called the Laurentian elite.
Yeah.
And I'm not really familiar with the term Laurentian elite, but when I look at the Irvings and where they're at now, not only do they control oil, they control lumber, they control shipbuilding, so pretty much steel manufacturing.
Yeah.
And now they own, I'd say, at least 70% of media in Atlantic Canada. I mean, the local radio station here, my English counterpart that was locally owned for four decades, was sold to a group owned by the Irvings. And now, you know, I mean, this is in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, where the Irvings control the news, right? But it's through a subsidiary company. So people don't really notice, you know. It doesn't say Irving Broadcasting. It says another name, Broadcasting.
Sure.
So if you don't follow the chain of who owns what companies, you'll never find out that it's the Irvings. And I only found out because of I'm an insider of the industry, so I knew how the whole thing went down. Done behind closed doors, no public sale announced. Find a high bidder behind the scenes, and off it goes.
That sounds like everything the government does, Billy. So we expect to be less.
I mean, that sounds like their normal mandate, doesn't it?
Sure, but the thing is now you've got the companies that are also giving tens of thousands of dollars to government officials and politicians and you know, creating these charities and these foundations that they're funneling money through. So they're donating tens of thousands to the political parties, and then they control the industries, and then the politicians pass policies and pass laws and pass regulations that favor those companies and kill the little ones. And it's like a big vicious cycle, because then those politicians turn around and, oh, well, your grandpa was liberal and your grandfather was conservative, so you got to vote for me because your grandfather did and your grandfather, you know, and so the whole thing is just perpetuated. And it's the, like for those who follow QAnon, where he said once you're watching a movie, it's not that far fetched. That's exactly what we're doing. We're watching a movie that was pretty much put in place and produced by this world elite. Call them the Laurentian elite, call them the New World Order, call them the Illuminati, call them the high-ranking Freemasons, because they're not off the hook. As far as I'm concerned, high-ranking Freemasons, it seems, land in positions of authority quite often, like disproportionately. Let's put it that way. So I think there's something there as well, because the Freemasons are all over the Denver airport. And I don't know if you've seen some of the murals at the Denver airport, but those are quite frightening.
It's all in your face there, buddy. It's unbelievable. I mean, Freemasons are everywhere. When you look at the Catholic Pope, Matt, I mean, he was, 37th level high Freemason, I believe, and he's a Jesuit.
Yeah.
You know, we know the Jesuits took over the Catholic Church in the 17th century. Everything in the Catholic Church is evil symbolism. There is nothing in the Catholic Church that is actually of Christian faith, as far as I'm concerned. It's all portrayal of devils, and we could talk about all the symbols we see in the Vatican. Just look at it, man.
Well, the main cathedral,
black and white checkerboards everywhere. Go ahead, Billy.
The main preaching area where the Pope sits. The Pope has a throne on this stage, and there's like a brass sculpture behind him. It looks like a wall of spirits with some sort of reptilian being. It's supposed to be Jesus on a cross, but the whole thing looks like a snake, complete with fangs, eyes. The whole nine yards. You could go look up Vatican snake head, and you'd probably find lots of images of it. It's eerie, and when you consider what the snake represents in the Bible.
Yeah, it is. What do you think, Jürgen? Is there any hope?
Well, I see that the Catholic Church, of course, has been fairly demonic for many years in terms of what they do to children. I think they're the leading edge, and this current pope is probably the devil incarnate, as far as I can see. His venture into world politics has nothing to do with Jesus Christ on the cross. His speeches generally have nothing to do with Christianity as a whole. It has more to do with the control of the entire population, him wanting to meld Islam with Christianity is basically an affront to God. To me, it's a slap in the face of every Christian on the planet.
Yes, it is.
It's a blasphemy. I mean, for me, this guy has no right to be the Pope. You know, Christianity has gone a long way in demeaning itself so that people would fall out of favor with it. You know, they've done a lot for that. I was born a Catholic. I went through the whole thing as a young boy, you know, the whole communion thing. But I left the Catholic Church when I realized that a lot of the crooks that went to my parish or wherever they were going to church with me, a lot of them were okay with committing crimes during the week. They could go in on Sunday, have confession, and it would be okay. I could never add that up. I could never put that together. You know, I'd say a few Hail Marys, and it's okay that you committed adultery or that you. It just never made sense.
Forgiven on Sunday.
But the thing you have to do as any living human being is have a look at the Ten Commandments and realize that those are the values we should all live by. It's written right there. Ten Commandments, very simple.
Absolutely. If we all follow that, Jürgen, boy, the world would be a different place, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It's very simple. Ten Commandments. That's
well, our laws used to be based on those commandments.
Yes.
And then we lawyers get a hold of them.
That's right.
Well,
they make a card based on that.
from a Christian perspective, Jürgen, I believe that we are now in what the Bible talks about as the end times. And that being said, we know that the Antichrist, who is talked about multiple times in the Bible, is going to make an appearance. I believe that. And, you know, the Pope could fill that role very, very easily. There's a couple other individuals in the world right now that could fill that role. But I wouldn't be surprised, because what he's talking and what he's saying is completely contradictory to any actual Christian values in society. So, well, interesting to watch where that one goes in the next couple of years.
Well, oh, we're down to about
6 or 8 minutes, but I'm going to let you speak for a few minutes each, guys, and then the arrow will be gone. It went by very quickly, but go ahead, Jürgen. Take your time.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, when you talk about the end times, you look at where we are in terms of historically, in terms of our arts and entertainment. There's no new music, really. There's no new art. Everything is recycled. There's no new movies. There's no new ideas in theater. Everything is recycled. We're going back to the old things and trying to make them new and thinking that it's better, when a lot of times the old one was way better. We can't even make things like they made hundreds of years ago, like we made today. We can't. Modern technology has taken away the ability to use your hands, in a sense, and use your brain in coordination with your hands to create something, or your mind to put something on paper that is relevant. You know, we have a few good writers nowadays, but we have a lot less than we used to have, and we have very few people that really write excellent lyrics. There are some good songwriters still, but if you look at the past, you look at where we were, you look at our lives, Barry, we can go back and say, you know what, we used to waltz to love songs. You see the kids today waltzing to love songs?
Nope.
You don't see it. You don't see it. Ever. Right? We've abandoned that. How did that go away?
Well, dating doesn't exist anymore.
So, anyways, that's what I have to say. Just latrogenic reaction, folks. If you don't want to take a vaccine, latrogenic reaction.
Well, you know what it is, Jürgen, is slowly and surely over the years they have changed society. And they haven't done it quickly, because if they did, society would recognize the changes. But now we live in a society where people really don't have a clue what has gone on in the past, that is being taken away so quickly. The indoctrination starts in the kindergarten. We absolutely have destroyed our children's mental cognitive abilities. We start filling them full of vaccines when they're born. We are feeding them food that's poison. We're spraying poisons in the air. We're giving them water that's fluoridated. And we wonder why society is falling apart, why we are now the sexiest society in the world, bar none, yet we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest country. If that doesn't make you ask questions about what's going on in our society, I don't know what to say to you. But that's where we are, and that's where we're going. Everything that we see going on right now is tied together. The same people that are bringing all this disruption in our society right now are the same people that brought us 9/11. They haven't changed. Another generation of psychopaths that we're dealing with. Billy, go ahead.
I just wanted to kind of expand on something we were talking of earlier, and I think it's important to mention during your show, is the collaboration between Canadian alternative media outlets or journalists or radio personalities or whatever else. I don't know if people are familiar with Candace Malcolm and True North.
Yeah.
She apparently started some sort of association for Canadian journalists. I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did.
It's an independent alternative media is the organization she has started, and it is growing and expanding at light speed. I was looking at it this morning. I applaud her for what she is doing. It's open to all medias, with the exception of media that is funded by the government. That's the only people that aren't going to be allowed in. You're allowed in if you're left or right. As long as you don't promote violence and you're not funded by the government, you're welcome to join the organization, which I think is a tremendous idea, Billy. And it's time in Canada that we have
independent conservative media. Is that what it's called?
Independent alternative media. And Candace Malcolm is the one that spearheaded this. She just brought it forward this week. I was actually going to get talking about that today, Billy, but we've been talking about so many other things that it kind of slipped my mind. So thanks for bringing that up.
But there you go. Synchronicity. I guess synchronicity made it so that I'd mention it and we can talk about it.
So you just jogged my memories. You know, literally, guys, there's so many things today that I didn't even get to talk about that I'd love to talk about right now. But you know what? It's all from the same pile of poop. And it's all the same thing that's happening. And we see these things going on. They seem to be accelerating at light speed. So I'm glad to have you gentlemen today in here to maybe talk a little bit of common sense.
Well, Barry,
I'm going to give you another minute here to close out with some thoughts and really the same thing. And I'll have to let you go for the week.
I really don't have much to add, to be honest. For those joining you late or for those who may have missed Juergen's opening remarks, I mean, you could have done probably 2 months worth of radio shows with Juergen's opening remarks. Just tackling one issue at a time. And all I advise people is to make yourselves aware of every single thing Juergen said in his opening remarks, because we are in a war. It's not your conventional type of war. It's what's called an information war. And in an information war, we all have weapons at our fingertips, and we all have brains, and we're all capable of logic, and we're all capable of critical thinking. And if people apply what's called the Socrates method of reasoning to the world we live in, it doesn't take long to figure out that we are opposed indeed, as the Bible says, by spiritual forces, by dark forces. And the only way to fight that is with the truth. And right now, the only place to find the truth in Canada is anywhere but the television, anywhere but the radio, anywhere. I mean, you'll find the odd radio station or the odd magazine or the odd newspaper in a local little town that'll tell you the truth. But you're never going to see it on national television. I mean, people that watch CTV, Lisa LaFlamme, every night, you're being lied to. It's a steady dose of lies. If anything, I would ask people to bear arms, and it's not your traditional arms. Bear arms in the sense of information and get the information out there. Learn something new every day and share it with everyone you know. That'd be my closing remarks.
Well, guys, we ran out of time. You know what? I've really enjoyed this conversation for the last hour. I applaud you both for what you're doing, Juergen. That little speech you made at the beginning of the hour, maybe you could put that on a shorter version and send it over to me, because like your speech on the back of that pickup truck that day months ago, that inspired me. So I'd like a copy of that, but we're going to have to shut the show, guys. Thanks for joining me. We'll get you back in again real soon. It's been an
Thanks
honor.
For having me, Barry. Let's stay together there so I can get some information. Billy, I'll send you that.
Okay, folks, thanks for joining us this week. I mean, what can I say? I've enjoyed this show immensely. First hour with Mark and Laura and Jody. What can I say about that? Three incredible individuals. Thanks to Laura Lynn for joining us. Thanks to my guests the second hour for joining. And thanks to all you guys for coming in today and listening to what we have to say about. Hope we've inspired you a little bit, maybe brought some good thoughts to your mind. Be back next week, same time, same place. Guys, have a great week. God bless you all. Bye for now.
Listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com.